Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, it's Houston Bigfoot. I think somebody already said something like that, didn't they? Anyway, it's Houston Bigfoot. This is a production of ScaryCast. I'm Dr. John Stamey, and it's great to be here. We've got a good crew, as usual. First of all, my co-host from down there in beautiful Houston. Is it beautiful today? Kyler Smith, how you doing?
Doing good. It's always hot and sun's always out. And yeah, I'd agree. It was pretty beautiful today.
I'll just tell you something. It's like 94 degrees today, and they're complaining about it. I mean, I've been down here in Myrtle Beach where it's 108 every day for 3 weeks, and nobody said a word. That's just the media. They don't have anything to talk about. Other than the fact that Joe Biden wants to plant 1 million trees. Now, I'll believe that. I see it, and I'll probably
108, that's insane.
Do what? What did you say? What did you say?
I was saying 108, that's crazy.
Yeah, it was 108 degrees for like 3 weeks, and you try to get in your car, and it's like you can't get in it, so you have to get in. You have to turn the air conditioning on, then get out and let it blow the heat out. It was awful, but anyway, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we've had down here. We know about heat, but it's still beautiful and sunny. And it was a little cloudy and lots some showers today, but it was a lot of fun. And Kyler, it's great to have you on here on the only Houston Bigfoot Conference. And our guest tonight, he's kind of becoming a co-host. So maybe I won't call him a guest. I'll just call him our co-host, Matthew Delf from MECRO, Mountain Empire Cryptid Research Organization. How are you doing tonight, buddy?
I'm doing excellent. I'm glad to be a part of the show.
We're glad you're a part of the show. So as I threatened you earlier, I'm going to say, Matt, what are we going to talk about? We got to talk about something good. So you're on deck.
All right. Well, to start off, kind of recap here, I went to the Bigfoot conference this weekend in Smokies, and it really amazes me how many people and stuff. That's why I like these conferences and doing these shows, because you've got all these witnesses. There's so many people, you know, that come forward during these conferences, and, you know, they listen to these shows, and they don't have to fear the ridicule. And there was lots of witness reports and everything. And, you know, you've got, like I always say, you've got three types of people in this community. You've got the total skeptic, you got the believer, and then you've got the knower. You know, the skeptic, they're like, nah, that's not real, because I was brought up told it wasn't real, and they just listen to what they're told. Then you got the believer. You know, they don't always listen to everything they're told, but, you know, they're like, hey, you know, I believe there is probably something out there, or they've had something that's kind of made them question it. Then you got the knowers, who's actually visually seen, you know, a lot of this stuff. I went from a skeptic to a knower, and I didn't even have the kind of mediocre on the believing part growing up, but I'm not sure that I had shared with this one. I know and some of the scary cast posts before, what had actually converted me into being a knower. Have I done this on this show with you, Kyler?
I don't know if I remember that, honestly.
No, Matt, you haven't. And then when you do your knower story, may I follow yours with mine? Is that okay?
Oh, perfect. But so for those that a lot of people know, some don't, especially, you know, getting quite a few audience now on the show, changed my whole world, I guess you could say, was I went from being a skeptic to a knower in a matter of like minutes. Kind of backstory here. We grew up, and like I said, Bigfoot, if it was real, it was probably out in the Himalayan mountains or something like that, you know, whenever I've grown up. And I grew up outdoors. My dad used to run a trap line to help with money and stuff way back in the day. And I would help him when I was like 4 years old. I'd go out and help him with this trap line and stuff to try and make extra money. And he'd show me how to hunt. So I grew up in the outdoors, you know, my whole life. I've been out in the outdoors. And I grew up in northern Indiana, outside of Lafayette, Indiana, and the area, they call it River Junction. It's back out in the middle of the woods, basically, out there. It's where Wabash River and Tippecanoe River meet. And then there's a creek, Sugar Creek, that runs into the creek there. Well, we lived on a dead-end gravel road there, and it's hundreds of acres of woods around us. This doctor owned. He wouldn't let nobody hunt in there. And they've got, like, old apple orchards, stuff like that. Now, my parents' house, where I grew up, was right beside Sugar Creek, so I had the creek in my backyard. And then we had our land was right in the middle of all that doctor's land. So it's isolated. You know, there's nobody out there. If they do get out there, they get ran off. You know, nobody goes back there or anything. And we grew up out there. But we grew up, and it was probably whenever I was in middle school is when we started noticing some weird things. And we would go out in the woods. And like I said, I really started hunting too. Was about middle school and up through high school, of course, out on my own. But whenever we were kids, we'd be out there playing and stuff, and we'd hear screams, we'd hear growls. But our mindset, this whole Bigfoot, stuff like that, never even crossed our mind, you know. You don't go out into the night time thinking a vampire is going to get you or anything like that. It just, you know, we're told that stuff's, you know,
Matt, you mean you're not thinking that a vampire is going to get you? Come on.
Now, I won't say that I don't think about stuff like that now, but
okay.
But yeah,
I just because I'm such a vampire fan, and so is John LeMay, we just love vampires. So I'm sorry. I just had to get that one out and get you on that one. Fair enough.
Fair enough. So, you know,
thank you.
Anything out in the woods, I pretty much knew what was in that area, what kind of noise it made, and so on, you know. I'm real familiar with woods, but we'd hear screams, and I couldn't pinpoint it. You know, I'd ask my dad or something, he'd be like, it's probably just a fox, because they make so many different crazy screams and calls and stuff. And I knew what a fox sounded like. I was like, no, it ain't no fox scream. And a fox scream can be pretty scary if you're out there, you know, in the woods at night or whatever. And it just comes up on you, or a bobcat. But this was a totally different scream. And when we were kids, we'd play in this tall grass. And kind of give you an idea of how this area is. It's so thick up there, super thick. And what we had done was we had made a little walk bridge to cross the creek. And then it was down in the lower, you know, wet area. And you come up from that up to this little plateau. And we had a garden. We planted a huge garden there. And there was another field that was just tall grass. Well, when we were kids, we'd play in that tall grass. And there was huge beds of grass just smashed down, like four or five spots up there. And we figured it was just, you know, some deer laying together. And it had a nasty odor. And we'd play, you know, we'd come across it, and that would be, you know, we'd playing, that would be our fort or whatever, you know, around stuff like that. And never thought once anything about Bigfoot or any type of cryptid, you know, all that stuff was all just fantasy. So as we got older, we heard more and more screams. We'd have that odor, but it's so thick up there. Once you get outside that field, you've got raspberry bushes, and it's super thick. And I noticed there used to be, we figured it were deer that was going through it. But this the briars were broke. I mean, these huge paths through the raspberry bushes, and whenever we pick raspberries, and I didn't think a whole lot of it because my dad tells me, oh, go out there and pick the raspberries, whatever, and we go up into the woods there in that huge field of raspberry bushes, and we go through, and I mean, all the briars and stuff have been broke through, and we just assumed it was deer. But now that I look back at it, deer probably is not just going to start wading through briars just for the heck of it, you know? But, I mean, these were pretty good-sized paths. I mean, that we didn't have to make a path. We'd just walk around those paths that was pushed through it and pick them. Well, as time went on, there was an incident that we'd hear screams, like I said, but never couldn't bother, never heard nothing. And once you get outside the where the raspberry bushes are and stuff up on a little bit higher plateau there, it is super thick. You have to be right up on something to see it. And so I started hunting up there on that little area. And we're talking, we've got tall grass, got cedar trees, and these cedar trees are, I don't know, they're probably, they're not huge. So the biggest bulk of them is kind of down lower, around the 6-7 foot, you know, bulk of them and stuff. And you can't see, you know, you have to be right up on something. You could hear something in front of you but not see it till you see it on a game trail or something. Super thick. And we were up there, and we weren't supposed to leave our land. Well, my brother, the neighbor kid, and he lived way down the road. He used to ride his little dirt bike down to the house there because we lived on the dead-end gravel road. And my little sister, they were out one evening, and they were up there, and they got in trouble because they went off our land, and they ended up way out by the main road. And, of course, we weren't supposed to leave property, so they were in trouble. And they were telling the story of, they're like, they were chased out of the woods by a monster. And, of course, you know, they're just kids, so my parents thought, yeah, you're just trying to cover your butt from getting in trouble, you know, from wandering off our property. And they described it as they was out there, they heard something, they thought it was deer. So they were taking rocks, and they start throwing rocks into the area where all the noise was, commotion was coming from. And that's when they heard a huge, deep scream with a growl in it, high-pitched scream with a low growl, and it scared them. And then it started moving towards them, and it scared them. And that's what they seen. My sister had seen a dark figure, and she said it was upright. And that's all she could see was like a dark figure moving through the thing. So it scared them, and they all ran out of the woods. Of course, we just took it as, yeah, whatever, you know, probably got spooked by some deer, something moving through there, you know, because, of course, they were in trouble. They weren't supposed to be on property. And never thought a whole lot about it. And then as time went on, my parents had moved down south, and I had moved to Colorado after high school. So when I graduated high school, I moved to Colorado. Well, I stayed out in Colorado for a little bit. Couldn't get a job. I was in this little small town called Canyon City. So I moved back to Indiana. My parents have already moved down south, but I would still go back out to the old family place and go deer hunting. And I'd go out there with my friends and stuff, and my friends, they'd hunt with me out there as well. Well, I was 21, and it was a weekend because I worked at Subaru, Isuzu up there, and I had time off the week of Thanksgiving, and I normally come down south for holidays, and I had to miss, you know, it's like 2 or 3 days of work, but I had Thanksgiving Friday, so I always took that week, you know, I'd take off and come down south.
Well, now, Matt, I'm going to interrupt you, and I'm going to say, we appreciate that you come down south for holidays. We love to have you, okay?
Okay. But, of course, you know, family's down here, so I was still up there. And it was a Saturday afternoon right before Thanksgiving, and it was the last week of shotgun for deer hunting. And I had this pattern. I had the deer. I mean, I was so familiar with the pattern of the deer and everything, what days, every, you know, that they would come down this trail. It was so thick you couldn't use a tree stand. And I had a spot cleared out by this huge, huge tree. Had the leaves all moved out and everything so I could keep quiet. Well, that afternoon, they usually come through there about in between 3:30 and 5. If they were early, it was 3:30. But late, it's usually around 5. And I got out there in between 2, 2:30, somewhere around there, you know, enough time to set up and get quiet. And it's right on this, right on the trail, because you can't see anything very far in front of you anyhow. You got to be right there on the trail. Got out there that afternoon, and I noticed it was a little different because that whole afternoon, no activity. And I'm like, well, it's starting to get late. The woods are dead quiet, and there's no deer have come down this trail. I'm like, well, maybe something's rerouted them, you know. Something's up, you know, because they're normally through here by now. And I'm sitting there. I'm like, well, maybe I just miscalculated what day, you know. And maybe they come early, storm, stuff like that. Deer go out and feed right before a big snowstorm or whatever. I can't remember if there was, there wasn't any snow then yet. But I was sitting out there and no activity at all. And it's starting to get dark. And I was like, man, I'm going to have to go in now because it's going to be too dark to. And so I start getting my stuff gathered up. And this odor had come through the air, and I've smelled it before. And I'm like, well, there's that odor. And then here a couple sticks break, so I'm getting excited. And so I'm like, all right, you know, maybe here they come. You know, they're just running late. And I'm trying to see. I can't see nothing yet. But as it gets closer, there's more aggressive. You can hear trees moving, trees shaking, and popping, cracking, and the odor's getting stronger. And I'm thinking a doe is chasing a buck. So I'm getting excited. I'm like, yes, here's my buck, you know. And then it got really, really aggressive. So I figured it might have been two bucks fighting over. I'm like, man, that's awful, you know, loud. And these, I mean, it's getting more and more aggressive. You're hearing trees snapping, busting, and I'm like, all right, you know, I'm super excited, and I'm still looking down the trail, but I'm not seeing nothing. And I notice it's coming from across the trail, the, all the popping and cracking. So I figured it definitely had to be two bucks fighting or something, you know, over there. And as it got closer, then I heard that scream with a growl. And then I knew it wasn't, you know, deer. I didn't know what it was at the time. So I'm intrigued. I'm like, okay, that's not deer. That's whatever we've heard out here, you know, before. And the closer it got, the more aggressive it got. All of a sudden, you know, you can hear really getting aggressive. And that scream with that growl, I had we'd heard it before, but this was more aggressive. I mean, this was like a blood-curdling. I mean, it just went right through you. And as it got closer, there was a little gap in between these cedar trees. I'd say it's probably about a 15-foot gap or whatever. And that's when I actually seen it. And it was in between 6-7 foot tall. It was bipedal. It's tall grass, so I can't see like the feet or anything like that. But I could see the silhouette of it because the sun's gone down and it's the trees, everything, you know, the sun and just little portions of the forest, there was still a little bit of sunlight shooting through. And I could see the whole silhouette. I could see on, as it went through the little gap there, I seen the head was, it wasn't like a cone-shaped head like the Patterson-Gimlin film, anything like that. It was more orangutan shape. It wasn't big and bulky. I mean, it's probably in between 6-7 foot tall. Had dark hair, don't know if it was brown, black, or dark gray because it was getting, you know, dark. And not to mention I'm colorblind, so that didn't help things. But as the sun shined through, I could see, and the spots where it was coming through, I could see on the side of the head, I couldn't see the face, I could just see the outline. I could see hair, long hair. And it didn't look like fur, it looked like hair, like long hair on the side of its head, all around its body, on its shoulder, its arm, it was hanging off its arm. And I was confused because I was looking for something I'm looking for something on four legs. And I'm like, what? You know, I'm confused. I'm scared because it's being aggressive. It's screaming. It's coming towards me. It's getting closer and closer. And that moment that it stepped in between that gap, it just, I don't know. I mean, it was, to describe the way I felt was scared but confused. I'm like, what in the world? I'm looking at something that's not supposed to exist. You know, my whole perspective is looking for something on four legs. This thing's two legs. It's, you know, and my mind's trying to comprehend what I'm looking at. And as it cleared that little gap there and it was closer, now I seen like an arm movement and this tree limb come flying at me, this branch, and it had some force on it and went flying past my head and it allowed that scream with that growl in it and it went right through me. And I was like, forget this, I'm out of here. So I take off running. I got to slow down to where you get down to where you can cross the creek into the lower part down there. And thoughts in my head is like, this thing's going to grab me. So I turn around. As I slow down, I turn around to see if I'm going to have to shoot at it or do something to, you know, defend myself. And I didn't see it. It wasn't down the trail. It wasn't right there behind me like I thought it would be. But it knew that I had slowed down and turned around because as soon as I did, it let out that scream with that growl in it. And I was like, okay, doesn't want me here. So I just, boom, crossed the creek, jumped in my truck. And I was staying in Lafayette at the time at a friend's house. And I showed up there and he's like, you go hunting? And I was like, yeah. And he goes, what's wrong with you? And I was like, what do you mean? He said, something's wrong with you. He said, we've been best friends since we were kids. He said, there's something wrong with you. And I said, I don't know. I'm just a little confused. He said, did you see anything while you was hunting? I said, yeah. He goes, what was it, doe? I said, no. He said, what did you see? I said, I don't know. He said, what do you mean you don't know? I said, I didn't know how to explain it at the time. I was, you know, looking at something that wasn't supposed to exist, and I'm going to tell somebody. I'm like, the only thing I could think of at the time was, you know, I said, I seen a monster or something. He goes, what? I said, yeah. I said, I don't know what this thing was. I said, I know it sounds crazy. And he goes, no, it don't sound crazy. He goes, I've been out there hunting with you. And he goes, I know you. And he goes, and I've heard that scream. He said, you know, it's always been in the back of my head, but we didn't know. I said, I've never even thought of anything like that. And so after that, that's what my whole life changed that afternoon. After that, I look at the world totally different. That's what got me into the whole research. I don't choose to do this because I'm a fan of it. I do it because I need to know answers. I used to say that I wish I would have stayed another 15 seconds because I want to see this thing's face. I want to see its eyes because you can tell a lot from if you look at something's eyes. You can tell if it's demonic. You can tell if it's, you know, you see right through. You can see the soul. You can see. And I didn't get to do that. And so now, ever since then, I've been on that quest. I need answers. So I had no choice now but to research. And that's what got me started.
Well, I mean, you know, if everything's okay, Matt, and there aren't any problems, you're okay. But it sounds like you were having some problems. Could you explain those to us?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, it changes your whole – I mean, you're having this trauma. You're like, you know, everything that you've been brought up and told is a complete lie. You know, I'm like, well, if that, you know – this thing's not supposed to exist. And I know it for a fact. I don't care if anybody believes me or not. You know, I could care less about that. I need to know for myself what is this? You know, why are they keeping it quiet? You know, so I started taking wild. I thought I knew everything about the woods. So I started taking wildlife and conservation college courses, learned tracking, everything I could figure out, try and expand my knowledge on the forest, the woods, animals, and it just changed my life forever. And that's what got me into the whole conferences as well, because other people, I'm not the only one, and everybody's kind of, you don't want to go up to people and just tell them, hey, I seen a monster, you know, and they're like, what? This dude's nuts. Because the whole media and everybody makes a mockery of it and ridicule. They put witness reports on TV, but they don't put, like you get at these conferences or these shows that we do, you'll have people that will come to you that are doctors, pharmacists, and they'll say, hey, you know, we had, you know, this and this. And what was kind of cool was my daughter did a paper when she was at Indiana University, and she did a little poll, and she got a, I forget, it was perfect score, and I think they even gave her some bonus points on her project there at Indiana University, because she did a poll of asking people whether they believed in, you know, she did a paper, and her project was, you know, and that's what I do my lectures off of now, believing in the unbelievable. And she would ask people, she would, you know, she went through and did a complete study and asking people if they believed in Bigfoot, aliens, ghosts. And it was kind of neat because when they were with groups of people, 75% of them said no. But whenever she asked people that was alone, the rate was so much higher of believing in it than when it was compared to being around a group. So that the whole ridicule thing they got going on, you know, it works. The whole, you know, being made fun of, the mockery of it. But when these people are alone, they're like, yeah, I believe in that. I've experienced this and that. And I still need to get, when I think of it, I'll get some of her findings and results back with you there, John. And I meant to do it a while back, but I forgot. But just how the whole community, so now that I research, I can tell if somebody's telling a lie. I can tell if they're, you know, because whenever you experience something like this, it changes your life. You got this PTSD that's, you know, this drama that just messes you up, completely messes you up. You never look at the world the same again, and you never will. Then you start going through your head, what else is real, you know? So everything, you know, anything's open now, to me anyhow. It's open to me. And I think it had to be this aggressive encounter. I wouldn't be where I'm at now if it wasn't for that aggressive encounter, because anybody knows me, they know I'm stubborn as hell. And if I seen it from a distance, I've been like probably trying to think in my head, you know, maybe it was this, maybe it was that. But this was within 30 yards or closer from me, and it was coming towards me. And there wasn't nobody else out there. Nobody's ever out there. It was just me. And then I start looking back, and if I would have known back then what I know now, of course it would have been like, hey, you know, because, I mean, I would find long hair on top of barbed wire fences, and it's on the top of it, and it was long. I was like, well, that's odd, because any type of coyotes, anything like that, they'll go under the fence. Deer will jump over, but this was too long for deer hair. It wasn't deer hair. And now that I think about it, that odor with those, where the grass was smashed down, it all goes together, you know, it all pieces together now. And I was like, man, I wish you would have known then. But it's changed everything. The way that you view the world is never the same again. Never the same. And you can tell now, I can tell if somebody has seen something like this, that's because it messes with you.
Wow. That's incredible, Matt. I mean, you know, that's a good story. It really is. Kyler, do you have any questions for Matt? He's relayed really an interesting story.
Real quick, when was that report done when she went to go ask, you know, people alone and in groups?
It's right before COVID hit.
Oh, so it was pretty recent.
Yeah.
Okay, because yep. I was kind of, if it was a while back, I was kind of curious, you know, maybe it would be a lot bigger a lot more people now believing in it, but that was pretty recent, so it probably isn't a huge change. But yeah, that is pretty interesting that people would change their belief or tell you that they actually believe when they're by themselves. That's kind of strange.
Yeah, and I've noticed that at different things whenever I talk to people, you know. It's kind of, you'll be with a bunch of people and they'll be like, ah, that Bigfoot stuff ain't, you know. They'll be, oh, yeah. And I'll tell them, I'll go, okay, if you spend as much time as you claim you have in the woods, I said, I guarantee it, you've come across something you can't explain. And they'll sit there and think about it, and they'll be like, yeah, you know what? And it's kind of funny because you'll be talking to a group of people like that, and then as soon as some of them leave, you'll have a couple of them will come up to you about when you're by yourself and go, you know what? I've kind of experienced something. Then they start asking you questions. It gets them thinking. But when they're around other people, the whole fear of ridicule, mockery, it's kind of funny because I'm a operations manager here at this company that I work for, and there was some, you know, people have tried to pop jokes, you know, which it don't bother me because I know what I've seen. And they're, you know, they're like, they try to make a mockery of it or something. We'll be in a little meeting or something, and somebody will say, so you hunt monsters on the weekend? And I look at them and go, you know, because they're trying to, you know, make a mockery of it in front of other people.
Right.
And it's kind of funny because I'm like, have you ever seen one? You know, I turn it around on them, and they're like, no, can't say that I have. I go, you're welcome then. You're welcome. And then I just stop, leave it at that. So, but yeah, I mean, it changes everything.
I now kind of, my grandpa and my uncle are huge hunters. I don't know if they are still, but now I want to go ask them to see, you know, some of their stories. Maybe they've hidden from each other even that they were scared to tell someone. I'm sure they've got something.
Oh, yeah. If they're out in the woods a lot, yeah, ask. And don't come up. The easiest way to do it is not say suggest Bigfoot or anything like that. Just ask them if they've ever experienced anything strange out in the woods that they can't really explain.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times you'll scare them off and go, you believe in Bigfoot or, you know.
I mean, they we're all from Oregon, too. So, I mean, not very aware of the activity out there, but I know there is plenty of space for them to be out there. So, yeah, I have no doubt they probably have seen or heard something.
A lot of reports from up there.
Wow. Matt, are you there?
I'm here. Yeah, it changes.
Okay,
I mean,
I'm sorry. I apologize. My phone just kind of died on me, and you weren't there. But now you're back. That's great. Well, those are interesting stories. They really are, and they underscore that, you know, you don't have to be something special. And when I say something special, you don't have to be somebody that deals in Bigfoot all the time to have a Bigfoot story. Am I correct, Matt?
Yes, you're definitely correct.
I mean,
definitely.
The stuff just happened.
Yep. Be at the right place at the right time or just
or you can be in the wrong place at the wrong time and Lord only knows what you'll see. Is that right?
Exactly. Yes, definitely.
Yeah, it is. And I tell you what, if I may, can I go ahead and review my story that terrified me so much?
Definitely.
Okay, Kyler, are you ready?
Yeah. Is this one I've heard before? I'm kind of curious.
I don't know if you've heard it before, but this is the real thing. This is kind of like Matt's, as I call it, the Indiana Bigfoot sighting of Matt Delf. And that's in the book. That's in the book. Look Up in the Sky. And my story goes like this: I was late getting into my friend's bed and breakfast. It was late one night. It was about 10:30 at night. And I got there, and I went down to see him and his family, and they were waiting up for me to make sure I got there. They're very nice people. And so I said, you know, I'm sorry, I'm tired. I'm just going to go on up to the cabin and chill out and have a good time, and I'm done. And they said, sure, that's no problem. So what I did was I climbed back up the hill, and there I was, and I got into the cabin. I fixed myself a double vodka. I said, I'm tired. I'm going to have me a double vodka, and I'm going to bed. And so I'm sitting there, and I realized there were no crickets chirping. I said, well, this is crazy. This is not normal, but, you know, whatever. I mean, Matt, you know, if all of a sudden you hear nothing going on outside and it's, you know, late in the spring, you kind of know something's wrong, correct?
Yes, you do. Yep.
Yeah, you do. So anyway, I said, well, whatever. And all of a sudden I heard some rustling on the left side of the cabin. I was facing the, I was facing the front door of the cabin, and I heard something rustling. I said, well, it must be a deer or maybe a raccoon or something. And so I'm sitting there, and I take another drink, and all of a sudden I hear this slam, bang, bang, bang on the left side of the cabin. I have never heard anything that loud in my life. And not only was it loud, it was frightening. And I said, well, what is going on? I didn't know what it was. So I said, okay. And then I heard the thing that I will never forget. I heard the footsteps. Now, Matt, you will agree with me that Bigfoot has a fairly large reach when it comes to the length and the distance of Bigfoot's, of Bigfoot's schedule there.
Wingspan.
Correct?
Yeah. Yes. And the whenever you said something about the hitting, they've been known, it's a common trait, they'll slap on the side of people's houses, their trailers, whatever they're living in, their campers. They like to slap, I don't know why, but I don't know if they get a
kick out of it or what, but they like to smack the side of houses too. This was no slap. This was nothing fun. It was terrifying. So, and then I hear the step. It's like it's taken 3.5 to 4 feet for this thing to make it step. And I knew what it was. I was terrified. Now, Matt, I don't know if you've ever been terrified, but I have been. I was so terrified that night, I didn't know what to do. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then I looked down at my phone, and it was down to 7%. I said, "Oh no, I've got my phone charger outside, and I'm not going outside with all this mess going on." And I was scared to death. So what I did, and so what happens is the thing, several steps, and then it turns the corner, come into the front door. And it's like, oh, my God, what is going to happen? So I just sat there, and so what I decided to do is I decided to cut the lights off. So I fixed myself a triple vodka and Coke, and what I did was I just sat there, and I cut the lights off. It was a light above me, you know, with a spinning thing on it. It was and I said, I'm just going to turn this off and see what happens. And so the thing got right next to the front door, and I never heard another thing. I was terrified. I mean, again, I have never been that frightened in my life, and I was afraid I was going to have another heart attack. So there I was, And lo and behold, everything got quiet. I had the light off, and I just sat there, and I remember closing my eyes, and that was about it. So about 3 o'clock, I woke up. I could hear all the crickets chirping. The phone was down about 4%. I was surprised. It still had some charge. And I just sat there, and I said, well, whatever it was didn't come to get me this night. So the next morning, I decided I was not going to get out of that bed and breakfast cabin until it was light. So I said, I'm not getting out until 7 a.m. So at 7 a.m., it was beautiful, it was bright, it was sunny. I got out, I went to my car, I got my charger, I brought it inside, I let it charge, and all of a sudden I had 11%. And I called my friend Robin McCray, who, as you know, is very well-versed in the world of Bigfoot. Right, Matt?
Yes, I was actually talking to her husband a little bit earlier.
Oh, they're the best people. So I'm sitting there, and I'm calling her up. I got about 14%, and I'm on charge. I said, hey, Robin. She said, I hear you had fun last night. I said, what do you mean? What are you talking about? Well, the Bigfoots down there told me that you had gotten in late, and they were out hunting with their young, and they didn't want you bothering them. So they decided to make sure that you stayed inside that cabin. She didn't even know I was in a cabin. I said, well, I did. She said, well, just be careful. And even Robin had heard from the Bigfoot what had gone on, and it was frightening. So I go down to my buddy Will's house. So I go in there because he keeps the front door open if he's got the cabin, you know, open and used. So I walk in there, and it was very strange because his three dogs didn't come running to jump at me. So I walk in. It's very quiet. Then all of a sudden, Sergeant Sarge walks up to me. He looks like he's been hit by something. It looked like he was hurt. And I said, oh, my God, this kid, this dog has been zapped. And then the other two dogs came in. They were just about to fall apart. They had been zapped as well. Nothing was going to save me because those dogs, if they hear anything, even up near that cabin, they'll come up running and jumping to see what it is. And I realized that night they never came up. So there you go. That is a frightening story. That is a true story. It's the scariest thing that ever happened to me. There you go, Matt. What do you think?
I think it's awesome. And you talking about the dogs, another thing. You've noticed dogs, like a lot of hunting dogs and stuff like that, have been ruined by these experiences with some of these Sasquatch, because dogs will go, like if there's a bear out there, anything. Dogs will try and, if you're out in the wild, out in the woods, a dog will try and protect his owner. They will run out there, and they will try and attack whatever or try and keep it back, you know, whether it's a bear, anything like that. But with all these Bigfoot encounters, most of them, the dog usually comes flying back with his tail between his legs. He'll run out there, he'll hear something, he'll run out there, and as soon as they see what it is or they smell, you know, they get an identification of this, they will come running back with their tail between their legs. And just some of them just trembling in fear. I know many people have talked about something, their dog had come across something in the woods, and it's just ruined them. They can't take them out hunting anymore. They can't. They just won't do it. And you know how loyal a dog is.
In other words, Matt, the dogs are terrified, correct?
Correct. I mean, it has messed them up. I mean, You know, and like I said, dogs are loyal. They jump in there, and a bear's coming at their owner or whatever. A lot of dogs will jump in there and try and attack it or whatever. But a lot of these dogs now, they run. If they run toward it, they come running back.
Well,
so that's very
these dogs I mean, they look like they'd been hit on the head, and they weren't even like them normal their normal selves. I mean, I love these dogs. I know them very well. I was up there 3 months ago. They came running and jumping and kissing on me and everything. And I'm going to tell you what, these dogs are ferocious. They know me well, and they loving on me. But I'll tell you what, when they sense something like this, they are frightened. So, you know, we're lucky that you and I know the symptoms of what's going on, and we know to be very careful when things like this happen. But I'll tell you what, I was terrified. That is the most frightened I have ever been in my life. And the only thing I could think of was, this can't be happening to me. Did you ever have that feeling? This can't be happening to me.
I'm like, I don't know how to explain it. It's just, I'm like, what, you know, what is this? It changes your whole world. I mean, the way you, your whole perception, it opens up different channels of your brain, your life. You know, you've been focused in on this one thing. Once you experience something like that, the trauma and everything, it opens up all these different avenues, these different channels, different wavelengths. And, you know, you have to think outside the box. That's where I went down farther down. That's where I'm down farther down the rabbit hole now, because the more I'm out there and the more I'm experiencing, then I'm coming across more stuff that you can't explain. So it just keeps going deeper and deeper and deeper. And if you've ever seen one of these things, you're already looking at something that's not supposed to exist. And then to tell me that you think aliens aren't real or these dog men or something like that. So a lot of these, you know, it makes me question if these, some of these people that said they seen Bigfoot and they hang out with them or whatever, but yet they're going to tell me that dog man and all this other stuff aren't real. No, they're full of crap.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to announce something. I have interviewed a good friend of mine, and I had no idea that he had seen a dog man. And I took his description. I got my artist, Noah, to put together a, and that is one of the most frightening things I have ever seen based on Evan's, oh my goodness, we're hearing crazy sounds in the night. But anyway, I've got a picture of a dog man, and I'm going to release it online here in about a week. It is terrifying, and that is what dog man looks like. And I've never heard, now I don't know if you've heard of one of these, but whenever someone has, I've never heard of someone describe dog man and then have an artist draw it. Have you ever heard anything like that?
Actually, yeah. I know several people that do witness sketch reports, but I'm curious to see if it is very similar to the ones that these other artists have drawn, these other people have experienced. I'd like to compare it and see, you know, hey, is this the same similar creature, being, animal, whatever you want to call it?
I will bet you it is.
The same one that we've seen is the same as that one.
It is absolutely terrifying. Well, it's absolutely terrifying. So I'm going to have it up in about a week. I'll make a big announcement on ScaryCast, on Houston Bigfoot and everything, because I want everyone to check out what in the heck does Dog Man look like. And we've got a good picture from Noah, my artist. He's a great artist, and it's just terrifying. So anyway, that's what we got going on here in a couple of weeks. And I tell you what, Matt, this has been a lot of fun. Now, are you going to be with us next week?
I'll try to, as long as my work schedule allows it.
Well, you better, because it's a lot of fun. And Kyler, have we had a good time tonight?
As always, of course.
Okay,
well, that's
great.
I got a quick question
for Kyler.
Sure.
Kyler, what has got you involved in this kind of research and talk? Have you experienced anything?
So I haven't actually experienced anything that is as big as your guys' experiences. I've had tiny little ones that have kind of aroused my curiosity even more. But I've always, before I even met John, I've always been the type of person who's like, there's no way that we are the only things out here. That just doesn't make any sense. So when I met John and he was telling me, you know, all the stuff that he does, I was just like, perfect. This is exactly who I want to be around. This is exactly the type of stuff that I'm into. I want to learn more. So I'm jumping all in. Let's go.
Awesome.
Well, thank you, kind sir. I'm glad you liked my experiences because they're real. And so are Matt's.
And I absolutely, yeah, I believe everything that I've heard from all the people you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's life-changing.
Well, it is, and it's terrifying. And you talk about terrifying. I thought I was going to have a heart attack when I had my Bigfoot experience up there in Lakemont, Georgia. I thought I was going to die. I was frightened. There was nobody up there with me, and it's like, what more can you say?
And that area is well known for Bigfoot encounters.
That's the thing, too, is I hear your guys' stories, and from what I've heard from other people outside of our group, their stories are kind of just, you can tell they're just made up because it's not, there's no fear in it. There's no excitement. It's just something that, you know, maybe they heard from someone else and that's what they're telling me. I don't know. But when I hear your guys' stories, it's like I can feel what you were feeling by the way you tell in detail and like what happened. So it's awesome.
Well, thank you very much. It's very good to know that someone understands that when we tell these stories, we're terrified. Matt was terrified. I heard this story from Matt 6 years ago, the Indiana Bigfoot sighting of Matthew Delph in my book, and it's terrifying. And Matt, it was scary, wasn't it?
Yeah, it, like I said, it's a mixture of being scared but confused because I'm looking at something that's not supposed to exist. I mean, you can't, you know, that's like I said, I could care less who believes me. I'm doing this. I need to know for myself. It has messed me up that bad that, you know, I never look at the world the same ever again. And I'm glad it's happened because I've experienced so much now. It was a blessing in disguise, but at the time I was confused and I was terrified and, you know, I had no clue, you know, I'm like, you know, what just happened here, you know, and you're trying to comprehend everything and you can't, you know, your wheels are just turning and turning. You're like, wow, you know, what in the world, you know, has it always been out there? Or, you know.
I want to ask you a question, and I already know the answer. Mm-hmm. Haven't you met some of the best people in the world through this network of Bigfoot experiences?
Yes, I have. It has put me with a lot of great friends, a lot of great friends.
Yeah, we've got you as a friend, and I'll tell you what, it's great.
Right.
And we're just so glad to have you as a friend and so glad to have you on this podcast because we have a lot of fun doing it, and we have a lot of people listening to it. So all I've got to say is thanks a lot. And so now, Matt, will you be back with us next week, assuming your work allows?
If work allows, definitely.
Sounds good. Kyler, will you be back?
As always, I will be here.
All right, good. Well, gentlemen, we've had a great time tonight on Houston Bigfoot. We will see everyone back, same bat channel, same bat time, which will be 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central next Tuesday night. And thanks a lot, and we'll see you next time. Take care.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye, guys.
Goodbye.
Have a good night.